The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Title of today's teaching is The Fragrance of Christ. There's something about smell that can do wondrous things, even miraculous things. It can cause physical reactions, sometimes bad. Here's an example. When I was at school in England, it was an old building that we lived in, and there were two or three fellows in the dorm who did not bathe. And the elevators in this old building were especially small, just a little bit more than a phone booth, and you could get like four people in there. And I promise you, and I'm not trying to be gross, but you did not want to get on the elevator at the same time as those dudes because it was bad. I did not know until that day that you can involuntarily react to an odor, right? Has that ever happened to you? So it can cause physical reactions. It can also produce a wide number of feelings, good and bad. I'll give you a couple of examples. When I would come home in the afternoon and my mother was cooking, say, chicken and dumplings, are you getting it right now? I knew we were in for a wonderful evening. Conversely, when I would come home and there was liver and onions going. Do you remember when Saddam Hussein bombed all the oil fields and that black smoke was just hanging? So I would come home and there would be this black smoke and there's liver and onions, and she told me that it was good for me. I didn't believe it, and I swore three things when I left the house. I would never eat liver and onions ever again as long as I lived. I would put the full cup of sugar in the Kool-Aid, okay? And I would eat a whole stick of gum. Not a half. Smell can also be a time machine. And I really experienced this recently. I was going for a walk, and I'm minding my own business, walking along, enjoying the outdoors. And I walked by a fence, and they had recently sprayed it with some sort of sealant or stain or something. And zap, I went all the way back to preschool days, and the smell of a liquid vitamin that my mother was giving me. And I haven't thought about that in forever, maybe not even since, but all of a sudden I was transported back years and years and years. Smell can do wonderful things. It can also be not so wonderful. A few months ago, we spent some time in 2 Corinthians, and there's a spot in 2 Corinthians I'd like for you to turn to right now, and I'd like for us to start there. It's 2 Corinthians 2, and then verse 14. I particularly like the way the New Living Translation renders it, but you'll be able to follow along, I'm sure. It's 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says this, "But thank God, He has made us His captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume." Isn't that marvelous? The New King James renders verse 14 this way, "that God through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge. So what's happening here, at least I think, is that Paul is using an image from a, say, Roman triumphal procession. So a victorious general would come back after a lengthy campaign, battles, and he would lead a procession through the city streets. And part of that processional would be, say, Roman pagan priests burning incense. And then there would come, after all the victorious generals and soldiers and so on, there would come a long parade of slaves. They would have taken slaves with them from these battles. And the victors probably loved the smell of the incense. It was meant to pay homage to the gods. It was meant to celebrate the victory. But I can also imagine that the very same smell would be stomach-turning to the slaves, because you have to imagine that at least many, maybe most of them, would end up dead in the arena. So in this passage, Paul thanks God for the triumph that we have because of Christ. In another letter, Paul tells the church at Ephesus that Christ's death, his giving himself up for us in love, was a fragrant offering to God. So here's where the processional idea changes. Because Jesus defeated death, he leads us, his happy and hopeful captives, in a processional of victory. And that incense has a beautiful aroma to us. And not only that, but it's also an aroma that gets all over us too. We not only smell it, but it gets all over us. We start smelling like the victor. We start smelling like the victory. And that means we can thank God because through us, Jesus diffuses, I love the way it says it, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So that means that you and I are fragrance diffusers. Do you ever think about yourself that way? And if we carry with us the sweet aroma of Christ, then everyone around us will notice. And they'll either love the smell or they'll hate the smell. The world hate you. It may be that you smell a lot like Jesus, if I can use the phrase. I should hasten to say that if the world doesn't notice, then maybe you smell like the world. That might be hard to hear, but I think there's some truth in it. Now, John 12 is where we're camping out a little bit today, so I'd like for you to turn there, John 12, and we have a wonderful scene today that's familiar to you, I'm sure. John 12, and this time I'm reading from the NIV, and it's this wonderful place where we're just shy of, we're just prior to the triumphal entry of Jesus. We're just coming into getting ready to go into Holy Week, and Jesus goes to a meal. Are you there? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And though it's not listed in today's lectionary pericope, let's go on just a bit. Verse 9 through 11. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. You ever notice that? For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. That's the word of the Lord. Indeed. So I want to make some observations about the text and point out some things that, at least to me, were really fascinating. And I think we can join the dots together and see how they might apply to us, especially during this season of Lent. Did you notice in verse 1, it says 6 days before the Passover. Did you see that bit? That means that the following day is Palm Sunday. So this is Saturday night before the triumphal entry. And it's the last opportunity in some ways for Jesus to, if I can use the word, hang out, to relax, to be with friends, to be with people he loved. And the next day, Palm Sunday, would therefore be how many days before the Passover? Do you know what's significant about 5 days before the Passover? That's the day that they choose, select the lamb that the family will sacrifice. So here's our Lamb of God, who is triumphantly leading a procession. Oh gosh, gives me goosebumps. Triumphantly leading a procession into the city. And here he is, the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God being selected as the ultimate sacrifice, as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. That knocks me out. And let's talk about Lazarus just a minute. There are some implications, I think, here that we can draw out about him being present. Think about it just a minute. Lazarus had just recently tasted death. Right? He was dead. And now, he's not. But when he tasted death, he carried on him the odor of death and doom, as the scripture said a moment ago. Remember Martha's confession to Jesus after Jesus had said of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life"? Martha says, "Yes, I know. I know you are. I believe that. You are the Son of God. You are the Lamb of God." And then Martha says what about Lazarus when Jesus says, "All right, roll the stone away from the tomb." What does she say? "It's going to be bad. It's been 4 days." Does the Lamb of God, who is the Lord of life, who leads a triumphant processional into the city, care very much about the stench of death? No. Because he is the resurrection and the life. I love that. And one more thing. I kind of think that it would have been special for, and this is speculation on my part, but I think it would have been special for Jesus to be at table on the sixth day before Passover with someone who had died and now isn't. And where was Lazarus when he was dead? With the Father. Maybe Jesus really relished the opportunity to sit at table with someone who had come back from the dead, who had just recently been with the Father. I don't know, but it just knocks me out to think about it. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is sitting at table with him. And now he, who used to stink like death, carries the fragrance of Christ with him. Let's talk about nard. Today, I don't know if you noticed, but I have a diffuser going, and you might not be able to smell it where you are, so I got a little bit of nard. Careful with that. It's $8,000 worth right there. And I want you to smell it. It's very expensive, even today. I'm sure the nard that I got wasn't especially pure or whatever. I kind of halfway expected nard to smell very flowery and fragrant, but it actually has a kind of an earthy quality to it. Are you getting those earthy notes? That very expensive oil comes from a plant that is of the honeysuckle variety, and it comes from, say, India, northern India and southern China along the Himalayas, is my understanding. So it was expensive then, it's expensive now, it takes a lot to produce, and especially if it is very pure. Now, you may already know that nard was used to anoint kings. So there's some really special things going on here with what we see in this scene. How did Mary get the nard? We don't know. I think that the Chosen movie, and somebody sent me the clip, I've not seen it myself, and she goes to, I think, a Chinese merchant. That's speculation, of course, we don't know, but it makes some sense in that oil, that fragrance may have come from China. Anyway, we do know that it was very, very expensive. It could be that this was an inheritance, or this was a gift. This was something that belonged and was in the family for a long time. We don't know about that. But I want you to notice Mary's actions. Let's see what it says here. Martha is serving. We would expect her to do that, right? And then verse 3, Mary took about a pint of pure nard. Did you notice that? A pint. So we already know from what Judas says that that was about 300 or more denarii. That a denarii is what you get for a day of labor. So this is about a year's worth of money that she's spending. An expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And then it says, what? The whole house was filled with the fragrance. I'm hoping that you can smell some of that nard that I'm passing around even now. So I want you to think about Mary's actions. First of all, you have to assume that they were premeditated. We learn earlier that they probably are not in their own home, but at someone else's home, Simon the leper. There's some speculation about whether he might have been related or perhaps their father. Not sure about that. But she came prepared. I guess that's my point. And if she had wanted to, she could have brought a towel. She didn't. There's purpose in what she's doing. She's also being very bold. She's also being very fearless. And what she's doing takes deep, deep humility. Why? First of all, she took down her hair. And you don't do that. If you are a woman of that particular time, you don't take down your hair. And she does. I can imagine the ripples going through the crowd. She does it anyway. And she takes what is referred to elsewhere in Scripture as her crown and glory, and she places it at the feet of Jesus, using it as a towel. That's not just a happenstance. That's purposeful. She literally places her crown at his feet. I love that picture. Now, nard costs a lot, but that does too. We don't need to miss the costliness of her actions. Her giving what she did and the way she did it, the way she went about this, that was very costly. Now, part of the reason is she may have been despised because of it or thought less of. She might have suffered a downgrading of her social prominence. I'm not sure about that. But you can be certain, I think, that it would have been a bold and costly and deeply humble move. I've also been thinking this week about the lasting impacts and the lasting implications of this anointing. Let's think about it for just a minute. You take a pint of nard and you're just smelling some little bits of probably what is not especially good nard. I've never compared nards. I don't know whether there's some that are better than others, but I can imagine that fresh, pure nard is very, very expensive and probably even more pungent. Yes? Okay. You take a pint of that and you pour it over somebody, and then you wipe with your own hair the feet of that somebody. Well, one of the implications is that Mary is going to carry that fragrance with her for days. Let that sink in for a minute. There's something really important in that. She's carrying that fragrance with her, and Jesus is also carrying that fragrance with him. We're only 6 days away from Passover. We're only 5 or 6 days away from when he will be tortured and murdered. And I believe with all my heart that the smell of that incredible offering, in every sense of the word, would have remained with him and would have remained with her for all of those days. And I can imagine that that would end up being an encouragement to him. I can imagine that it would be a source of comfort for him in some way. I can imagine that it would be a blessing and a comfort to her as well. One commentator says this: Mary loved Jesus into his future. Why? Because smells can be a kind of a time machine. And they can elicit feelings. And there's this gift going with Jesus to a place that she can't go, but honors him for the going. So I think we can take some cues from Mary, and I thought of three at least that I want to share with you. What can we take away from Mary's behavior? Number one, here's how we diffuse. There's my diffuser with the nard. Later you should come up and take a whiff. And by the way, I should mention that after you receive communion, and if you would like to be anointed with some nard, I'll have that available and we'll do that for you, okay? Here's how we can be people who diffuse the fragrance of Christ. Number one, live expectantly. Becoming a living sacrifice day by day by day as we deny ourselves, putting God first and serving other people. Living a life that is premeditated. Mary planned for this ahead of time. You have to get the nard ready. You have to go get it. Maybe it's already in your home. How am I going to do this? When am I going to do this? I'm going to be ready for this opportunity when it comes along. I think we can learn from her about that. We live a life that is premeditated, expecting those moments where we can share the fragrance of Christ. Assume that you carry the fragrance of Christ wherever you go, and that it will be noticed. And by the way, like Mary, it may cost you a lot. Because remember, Paul says that to those who are perishing, the fragrance of Christ is, to use a word, putrid, and shouldn't surprise us. But if we live expectantly, if we live in a premeditated way, that's one way we can be diffusers of the fragrance of Christ. Here's another one. Live in a surrendered and vulnerable way. I was talking with Robert about this yesterday, and he used the word vulnerable. In doing what she did, Mary really opened herself up. Really, in a transparent way, talk about vulnerability. Maybe people weren't paying attention when she first started to do that, but you crack open a pint of nard, and the fragrance is going to fill the room, and people are going to take notice. And so she lived in a vulnerable way in the moment. So that means a daily relinquishing of my will. Living in an open, vulnerable way without caring what others think. And allowing God to use the fragrance of Christ both to fill and work in me for His purposes in the world. Third thing, live obediently. This is where... and it's hard, but we invite the Holy Spirit to fill and permeate our souls so much that there's not any room for anything else. Being so obedient that the fragrance of Christ absolutely emanates from our pores. Living in an open way to the way the Spirit will guide us and the Holy Spirit will move in our lives, willing to let Christ's reign in us be supreme. I think that's exactly what Mary was doing in this case. A thought or two about fragrance and also Judas. What did that nard, that extravagant gift, wonderful fragrant gift, what did that nard actually accomplish? What did it do? Well, actually, there were several things. One, and we've already mentioned this, everybody in the room took notice. You couldn't help but notice. It got everybody's attention. Ever think about this? That nard also prompted prophecy. That fragrance fills the room, and Jesus says to Judas, "Stop it, for she is anointing me for my death." So Jesus then tells those gathered what's going to happen. And at the same time, it also exposed hypocrisy and sin. Ever think about that? Judas was an embezzler. And he ultimately, this knocks me out, he ultimately placed more value on that perfume than he did Jesus' life. Why, that's 300 denarii. We could really use that for the poor. And then later he betrays the resurrection and the life for a few pieces of silver. This other thing also knocks me out. Do you remember a few days later when they are in the garden and Judas betrays Jesus? And how does he betray him? What does he do? He comes up close and he gives a traitor's kiss right there with Jesus. I wonder if Judas caught a whiff of that nard. The nard that Jesus had been anointed with a few days previous, the one that he so, in a hypocritical way, talked about using it for something else. I wonder if he caught a whiff of that. The very fragrance of Christ that was beautiful to Mary and beautiful to Jesus maybe ended up being putrid and condemning to Judas himself. I don't know. But here's a final thought for us. And I'd like to refer back to that passage in 2 Corinthians that we read earlier. Verse 15 says this, "Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God." And another translation has it this way, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ." One of the most humbling aspects of that to me is who delights the most in the fragrance that we carry? It's God. God Himself delights the most when we carry that smell, when our lives are permeated with that fragrance. In the Old Testament, I know you'll remember this, many burnt offerings were described as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You'll find that in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. And then Jesus fulfilled the purposes of those Old Testament sacrifices through His death on the cross. And beloved, that ultimate sacrifice by Jesus never loses its power. And it always carries the aroma of His love. That sacrifice always carries the aroma of His mercy. That sacrifice always carries the aroma of His forgiveness and His justice and His authority. And that means it's an everlasting, perpetual aroma, and it's pleasing. And it's pleasing to the Father. What an honor it is for you and for me to carry the fragrance of Christ and therefore delight the Father. This smell is not something to be kept bottled up and put on a shelf. It's meant to be opened. It's meant to be diffused. It's terribly costly. Some people will notice and be drawn to it. Some people will notice and be repulsed by it. But it's simply our job to carry the fragrance. On page 4 of your liturgy today, there is a lovely prayer attributed to John Henry Newman. It was later adapted by Mother Teresa. But let's read it together as a closing prayer. It's on page 4, and it starts with, "Lord, help us to spread." You see that? All right, let's join our hearts together and pray it together out loud. Lord, help us to spread Your fragrance where we go. Flood my soul with Your Spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may be only a radiance of Yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every person I come in contact with may feel Your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. And I would just add, let them smell only Jesus, that I would carry that fragrance. Father, I thank You for this wonderful moment that occurs just before you lead a triumphal procession. And I thank you, God, that your Son, our Savior, Jesus, took us captive. And so we who are in his train are encouraged and blessed by the wonderful fragrance of the incense that is Christ. And I ask you, Lord, that that smell would get all over us, that we would be so permeated with it that we would carry it with us wherever we go. And I ask these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.